Well, the glories of mid-century modern and retro style. You know, the days when moms cooked dinner in frilly aprons and heels, and dads always sat down at the table in suits and ties, and the kids raised their hands to speak. Well, this is the culinary era that James Oliver Curry collects, and in a rather unusual way. James, good to have you with us.
Nice to be here.
So what is this collection?
What is it? I have collected records, vinyl, LPs, and 33s and 45s for several decades now, and I've focused on food and drink-themed records for probably the last 20 years.
Now, are these records with music, you know, to eat dinner by, or are these, you know, how-tos and that kind of thing?
You know, I have organized it in so many different categories. There's a million different ways you can slice and dice it. Fundamentally, you can have records that are advertising jingles, or you can have records that are instructional, like the how-to that you mentioned. You can also have records that just take either a popular cuisine of the time, whether it's Italian food or Chinese food, particularly in the late 50s and 60s, and really just pair very bizarre, easy-listening instrumentals to a concept in a way that almost makes no sense.
For instance.
Well, there are several pizza party records that I have, so that's a huge genre or subgenre within itself. But one of the records that I have is essentially a promotional LP for a company called Geno's Pizza, but they have a band called the Accordionaires, and there's nothing particularly Italian about the songs or about the song titles, so it's really just music to have a pizza party to, and yet the music, it's a total disconnect. And that's one of the curiosities to me is, why was pizza so interesting, and who was buying a record about a pizza party anyway?
And it sounds like, you know, early product placement. It was an ad. It was an ad,
yes,
essentially, for this company and this particular band.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so some of these records were available to the public at record stores. Some of them were undoubtedly just sent to radio producers or handed out at conventions so that somebody would play it on the air.
There's one I see here, because I see there are illustrations of part of your collection.
Yeah.
Here, and this looks like that family I described. Mom is in the frilly apron. There's candles on the table. Dad's in his suit and tie. But it's called Hear How to Plan the Perfect Dinner Party.
Yep. It's funny. There's a lot of Norman Rockwell-esque moments on the covers of these albums.
Right.
And so I get an insight into what someone's view of Americana is, whether that's an actual depiction, and whether it's the romanticization of the suburbs, or whether it has to do with some sort of other post-war cultural shift. This is an interesting record, How to Plan the Perfect Dinner Party, because it came out in 1960, and, you know, that's about a year, I think, before we saw Julia Child's, you know, masterpiece, and yet we know that there was lots of books coming out that were trying to help people cook and entertain. And this really is a guide to how to cook four different deluxe dinners. And the interesting thing for me here is also what they chose to focus on. So they have a French dinner menu, a Polynesian dinner menu, a chicken dinner, and a steak dinner. And so, you know, you get a sense that the Polynesian speaks to the tiki interest of the time.
Right.
And the French is certainly considered to be the gourmet upscale dinner. Steak being probably very Americana, meat and potatoes, and then chicken being almost like the safety that we have today, chicken being one of the most popular words you'll find on recipe searches in general.
Were there any big musical names that are in the collection? Were there any people who we would recognize today?
Well, the funny thing is that several jazz greats recorded either songs or whole albums that somehow were dedicated to food. And I'm as interested in just cover imagery as I am in the content on the album. So it could be that there was just a popular song called Popcorn or Salt Peanuts, and a million different artists took that song and put that on their cover of their album in a very either ludicrous or kind of sexy way that would make no sense today in today's markets.
Right.
An album I have that's Super Sax Plays Bird, referring to Charlie Parker. And the two women on the cover of the album are naked, holding saxophones, and sitting on a giant mound of peanuts. So what you get actually are some jazz guys playing Charlie Parker songs, including Salt Peanuts, but the cover is totally exploiting the idea of yeah. both food and women on it in a way that just makes you, it takes your breath away almost, or at least it makes you scratch your head and laugh at the same time.
Right. So how many albums have you got?
Well, in the food realm alone, I probably have somewhere between 150 and 200 albums. You know, this is part of a collection that has about 5,000 records total in different categories. It's constantly growing. I'm always searching on eBay or whenever I'm in a record shop, which, you know, fewer and fewer these days. And the good thing for a collector of this genre is that there aren't that many other people competing for this particular niche.
Well, James, thanks for talking with us and opening up a whole new area of collecting and maybe cooking as well. Thank you. James Oliver Curry collects culinary vinyl.